Good morning, Harvest. So good to see you all here. My name is Amir Kashtan, and I'm serving here at Harvest as the small group coordinator, and I'm working with our junior high students. Where you are, junior high students? Yeah, love those guys. So, so glad to be here today, and we're going to continue today in our series Uncommon Community. So if you've been here around the last couple weeks, we started with learning how we shouldn't be an island. And then we talked about how we should love one another. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jason talked about how we should forgive one another. And it was just amazing. And today, we're going to continue with this series, Uncommon Community. Now, you know, we are talking about serve one another today. We made it pretty clear, and some of you think it's great. I'm glad they asked you to talk about that. I mean, you know about me, the time I grew up in a home of ministry back in Israel, and that I served for 5 years in the Israeli military, so I understand what service is. Maybe, you know, I told you I'm working with the small groups and with our junior high students, and sometimes you see me play the guitar up here, and 7:30 in the morning, usually I'm here setting up, so you're like, that's great, talk about service. And I believe that some others might think, I'm really glad they let this lazy guy get in the Word and read about serve one another, time for him to get in there, because you serve more than me. So I will just want to say, either way, if you serve more than me here or serve less than me, what I really learned this week is that if any of us think that we really got this serve one another piece well, we still have a lot to learn. So you already know we are talking about serve one another. We made it clear with you got these papers when you got in. Scott talked about it now. Pastor Scott at the announcements. There was this video that, by the way, thank you, because who needs to preach after this video, right? I mean, such amazing videos. And you sit here and you smile back at me, but maybe some of you are a little upset right now, like a little mad in your heart, because you say, I know what's going to happen right now. We all know, right? I'm going to speak for 40 minutes, going to make you all feel guilty that you're not serving enough, and after that, we will have a great opportunity to sign up for service, and you will be really forced into that, and you're like, I know exactly what I'm walking through. And I want to put you at ease. Galatians 5 verse 13, which is the verse that in our Uncommon Community books that we work in our small groups, you will go through this verse, but it says, and we have it on a slide here, that for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And I love this verse because the point here is that service is an outpouring of love. And this is what we're excited here at Harvest. That's what we're looking for. The last thing that we want anyone to do is to come and sign up for service because I'm forcing you or making you feel guilty or because of peer pressure or any of these reasons. If that's where you're at, do not sign up for service because that's not what we're after. You know, it reminds me this week when I was learning, I ran into this quote by an amazing woman that was a missionary in India for over 55 years in the early 1900s. She was actually saving kids from sex trafficking. Amazing woman. Her name was Amy Carmichael, if you heard about her. And she said this beautiful quote that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And I love that quote. That's exactly the point in Galatians 5, right? That's what it says. Maybe you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You have to have the heart before the service is the product of love, not guilt. Now, as I told you earlier, I'm working with the junior high students here at church, and they just love doing that. And we are going through a series with our junior hires that we call Unlikely Heroes, which is basically a study through different characters in the Bible. And this last Wednesday, we actually talked about someone that I really love to talk about, and it's Abraham. So we learned a little bit about Abraham, and I love that character so much. First, I have to say I'm so proud to be a descendant of him. And to be a grandchild of Abraham is awesome. But I love, because he is such an amazing servant of the Lord. And we went into that and learned about him. And today we want to look at him too and see what an amazing servant of the Lord he was. So ready to learn a little bit about Abraham? Yeah? So let's pray, ask the Lord to bless our time and dive in. Father, thank you for your grace and this opportunity to just think about your word and learn from someone amazing like Abraham. I pray that you will be with us, and more than anything, that you will just be glorified by everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's open our Bibles at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, and we will read the first 8 verses. So Genesis 18, verse 1 through 8. Genesis 18, 1 to 8, and it says this. And the Lord appeared to him, to Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, 3 men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself down to the earth, and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. So in this passage we can see our first main point for today. Our first point for today is, when we serve one another, we serve the Lord. When we serve one another, we serve the Lord. You know, when Abraham saw these people, these 3 strangers, he probably didn't know that it was the Lord. And I say that because it seems that in Hebrews chapter 13, there is a verse that says that we should be careful to be hospitable, because some people brought angels into their home without knowing it. So I think that it probably didn't know that it was the Lord when he saw these 3 men. But still, he chose to go and serve them as he would serve the Lord himself, which is amazing. So how did he do that? Can we all use our imagination? Okay, can you imagine with me? So it's really, really hot day. Okay, Abraham went to work early in the morning, worked really hard with the animals in the desert, do whatever you do with animal in the desert. And it's really hot around noon, maybe to 2 in the afternoon, gets really hot. I tell you, in that area by Hebron can get pretty hot this time of day. So he chooses to go back home and take a little rest in the hot hours of the day. So He goes back home in the way, probably stops at 7-Eleven, gets his camels a drink, get himself a Coke Slurpee, because that's what we do when it's hot outside, right? Then gets back home, turn the AC on, lays on the sofa, turn ESPN on, right? Probably watching soccer and not football, because we in the Middle East like soccer better than football. You know, the sport that you actually use your feet, football, you know? You know, just the perfect siesta from a hard day of work. You feel that? Are you relaxed? Like, you feel that? And then as he's so relaxed, he looks up and he sees 3 strangers. Would you go out back to the sun to see these strangers? Here's the deal. Abraham could have stayed in his tent. He could have just ignore the men that are there, or he could just pretend to be asleep No one would have known. He could have sent one of his servants to greet these strangers. You know, he could have done that. It reminds me something that happens very regularly at the Kashtan home, you know, our home. When we go at night after a long day of work, you know, I'm ready to go to bed, exhausted from a long day, getting ready to bed, go to bed, and, you know, usually it takes me a little quicker than Jacqueline to get ready to bed. So I'm already in bed, she's finishing getting ready, and then I hear her voice calling me, and she's saying, Amir, is there any chance you bring me a cup of water? So now I have a dilemma, right? I can either pretend I didn't hear her and just hope she forgets about it, right? Or I can pretend that I'm asleep and let her figure it out. Or I can do what makes the most sense and tell her, hey, you know, you're still standing. I'm already in bed, right? Why don't you just go and grab it yourself, right? It makes total sense. And what is it about you ladies that you need water when you go to bed anyways? Because when I'm going to bed, I plan to sleep, not to drink. When do you plan to drink this water? I don't get it. But, you know, anyway, why would I choose to go and serve Jacqueline? Why did Abraham choose to go and serve strangers? And for me to serve Jacqueline, to serve my wife is easy. She's my wife. I love her. For Abraham, they were strangers. And why would he choose to do that? And why would we choose to do that? And it is because when we serve others, we serve the Lord. And in this scenario, literally, for Abraham. Now, we also need to remember that at this point, Abraham was about 100 years old. Now, you say, how do you know that? Well, at the end of chapter 17, it says to us that Abraham was 99 when he was circumcised. Should we dwell on that for a second? Maybe not, right? Let's just say that Abraham was a really brave man. We can agree about that, right? Amen. Really brave man. So he was about 100. Now, he did live to be 175, so he wasn't on his deathbed. But if we, to be fair, he probably would be a 65-year-old man in our modern day. Okay, the equivalent of a 65-year-old today. So someone that is maybe doesn't have the all the energy of his youth anymore, but someone that is not limited physically yet. Okay, so about a 65 years old. And what's amazing to see here is something that's really being emphasized is how Abraham did everything really fast. Did you notice that? In verse 2, it says that Abraham ran to the strangers. And then in verse 6, it says that Abraham went quickly to Sarah. And then it says that he actually tells Sarah in the end of verse 6, hey, prepare this bread quickly. And then it says in verse 7 that he ran to the young men. And then it says that he told the young men to make the meat quickly. So that's a lot of hurrying and running for someone that is past his middle age, right? And now it's not only that Abraham did everything really fast, but actually Abraham gave his best to these strangers. He gave his best. In verse 6, he tells Sarah to knead flour and to make cake. Now, I personally think that when it says this, it means that he told her to make challah bread, which is the Jewish bread. And if you ever came to our home and had an opportunity to taste Jacqueline's bread, Jacqueline's challah bread, it's really good. And I tell you, there is not much better than this steamy, fresh, hot bread. Look at that. It's a beauty, right? I mean, a beauty. And the bread is pretty good too. But, you know, it's really good. And then he goes and slaughters a young calf. And if we translate it to our world today, it means that he gave them a really amazing ribeye. Okay, make a really good steak to them. Can we face it? That's like the meal of the dreams, right? I mean, fresh bread and fresh steaks. Amazing, right? Gave the best that he had. But we also want to notice that when he makes the young calf, it's not only that he makes a really good steak, but what he's doing, he is making a statement, because young calf can produce more young calves a lot better when he's alive than when he's dead, right? So what he's saying is, I'm going to sacrifice my future income. You know, I'm putting this for you. So I'm giving you the best that I have. So you get the picture here? Abraham served his guests so well because the Lord was there. He served them because he served the Lord. And this is what we want to remember. You know, it reminds me of a verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, Paul says the same things there. He says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. See, it's the same point. And I love this verse. I love it first because this is the chapter that in our men's garage we're memorizing, right? And how exciting is that, that all the men in our men's ministry commit to try to memorize a full chapter, Colossians chapter 3. Is that amazing? It's really exciting. And we will get to this verse later on in our, as we memorize. But I love that because it's exactly the point that we're talking about here, right? That whatever you do, you work with all your heart as for the Lord and not for men. And this is the example that Abraham gave us. So what about us? What about us? Do we serve one another like we serve the Lord? Do we do that? And when we see a need, do we choose to ignore it, pretending that we don't know? Or are we going to meet the need that is out there? And you know, any of you that is serving right now, here's the question. What is the motive behind my service? And you know, as I was studying this week for this message, I was really convicted about this question when I asked myself, what is the motive behind service? And I have to say, I was really convicted because sometimes my motives are wrong. You know, sometimes I serve because it's my job, it's my duty, I just need to do it. And sometimes I serve because I know that people see me. And you want to be honored by people and want people to think that you're great. And sometimes that's a motive to serve for me. And sometimes I serve because of guilt, because I know that, you know, I just need to do that. You know, I feel guilty. And when I serve this way, it's wrong. And I want to encourage all of you here and me first, that when we serve one another, we keep remembering what is the motive behind, and our motive is to serve the Lord and not any other reason. And check our hearts when we do that. Now, let's get back to Abraham, okay? So he provides such a beautiful picture of serving the Lord, and you maybe saw that he not only provided for the hunger of his guests, but if you noticed in verse 4, it says that he also brought water. But actually, he didn't bring out water to drink, but he brought water for them to wash their feet, right? And, you know, this is to kind of just give them some comfort, because think about, it's really hot outside, you walk out in sandals, and finally you get to rest and put your hot, swollen feet in cold water. That would be really refreshing, right? It will be something that it's really good, not just for cleaning, but also for refreshment. And that's what a practice that people really did at that time. And you know, the truth is that we even see that Jesus knew the value of this practice later on in the Bible. And I want to look at that passage together, okay? So turn to John chapter 13, the Gospel of John chapter 13, and we will start at verse 2. So John 13, verse 2. It says there that during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, now verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now jump with me to verse 12. Okay? When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you." And from this amazing passage, we take our second main point for today, which is when we serve one another, we resemble the Lord. When we serve one another, we resemble the Lord. You know, washing feet at this ancient time was something that only slaves did. And that's because people walked around in sandals on dusty roads, and because of that, their feet got really dirty. You know, I can really understand it, because if any of you know me a little better, you know that I really hate walking in closed-toe shoes. I walk with sandals all the time because, you know, I served in the military in Israel for almost 5 years, and, you know, you wear these big, heavy boots all the time, and sometimes it was days and sometimes even weeks that I couldn't take the boots off even when we go to sleep, because you have to be ready to jump whenever you're cold. So, you know, my feet got a little, you know, bit of consequences from this kind of thing. So when I finished my military service, I promised myself that I will wear closed-toe shoes the least I possibly can. And I have to tell you proudly, I've been very faithful to keep my promise so far. So I have a pretty amazing arsenal of flip-flops at my home. I have my running flip-flops. I have my working flip-flops. Some of you guys saw it when I'm working here, you know, working flip-flops. I have my fashion-forward dressy flip-flops that are leather for, you know, special events. I have my hiking flip-flops that I can walk around and hike in the water and stuff. I really have many flip-flops, everything you can. And only when it's absolutely necessary, like when I'm wearing a tuxedo at my own wedding, I'm willing to wear closed-toe shoes, or when my mother-in-law asked me to do it here at church. So, you know, that's the only time I wear closed-toe shoes. So I will say, because of that, because I walk in sandals all the time, in flip-flops, my feet sometimes get pretty dirty. And sometimes they get so dirty that it's even too disgusting for myself to clean them, you know, because they're getting really dirty. And this is why only slaves were allowed to wash feet at that point. And more than that, even in the Jewish culture at the time, Jewish slaves were not even allowed to wash feet. But what Jesus did, right? Jesus became the least of the slaves, which is amazing, just amazing. Jesus, what, you know, what a disgusting job to do. And he's the God in flesh, the creator of this world, the Lord, become the least of slaves and washed the feet of his disciples. You know, Abraham, our role model from just a couple minutes ago, he didn't do that, right? He gave them water to wash their feet, but he didn't wash their feet himself. But God gives us a different example. He got on his knees and washed the disciples' feet. You know, Jesus, that was God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And he washed the feet of his disciples. And here's the question for us. Do we think that we are too good to serve others? Or we are willing to serve others, but there are some jobs that are just too gross for us to do? You know, there is not a lot of glory in working in our nursery here, you know, and change diapers. Not a lot of glory in that. But it's an amazing service for the Lord. You know, there is not a lot of glory coming here on Sunday at 7:30, push boxes, get all sweaty and stinky, and make this thing look really beautiful just to tear it down in a couple hours. Not a lot of glory in that, but it's an amazing service. know, there is not a lot of glory in hosting a small group at your home and maybe cooking and cleaning dishes and cleaning the stains from the carpets after everyone leaves. Not a lot of glory in doing that. But still, what an amazing service. And I'm so thankful for so many of you that do that on a regular basis here. And what a beautiful following of Christ's example when we do that. And, but the question for all of us is, are we willing to wash the feet of another the way Jesus did, the way Jesus modeled for us? Now, Jesus didn't only wash the feet of his disciples, which is incredible in itself, but he even took it, I hope you're ready, because he took it even a step further. Unbelievable. In verse 2, it said here that during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. And in verse 18, we can see that Jesus, when he was washing the feet of his disciples, already knew that Judas is going to betray him. And you know what? Abraham, can you come up here? I can't wrap my mind around this. This is just the most unbelievable thing. You know, Abraham and Lydia, I love them. And, you know, they've been serving with us in our junior high program from the beginning of this year. And just love serving with them. And, you know, obviously our relationship is not like maybe Christ and his disciples as much as I would like it to be. But, you know, we're trying to meet every other week. And we are going to have Abraham preach to our junior high students in a couple of weeks for the first time, preach a message. It's going to be really exciting. We meet, we talk about the Bible. It's really exciting, this relationship that we're building. And here is the deal. If I knew that in 3 years, Abraham is going to betray me, you know, not to the point of death, but, you know, if I knew that he will say bad things about me behind my back, how much effort you think I'm going to put into this relationship? How much relationship there will be if I knew that in 3 years he's going to do that? Now, you know, Jesus at this point here, it's hours before Judas betrays him, not 3 years, hours. In the end of the supper, there it is, he's going to the cross. And Jesus still, he's going down on his knees and he's washing the feet of Judas that is going to betray him just in a couple hours. You understand what's happening here? It's craziness. And, you know, thank you. And it's just unbelievable, is it? It's unbelievable that Jesus did it, knowing that Judas is his betrayer. And, you know, Jesus had every reason to expose Judas at this point. Or at least he had every reason to just ignore Judas. Just to be nice to him. But why wash his feet? I can't do that. I couldn't do that. And, you know, I look around the room here and I see many people that have been betrayed before. I see that. You know, some of you maybe by colleagues at work. Some maybe from by people that are closer, like really good friends, some maybe by even closer people, family members, some even maybe closer by a spouse or even a parent. And, you know, we talked about love one another, and then we talked about forgiving one another, and here's the next step that Jesus gives us. And we should serve these people. And it's hard, it's unthinkable, it's uncommon. You know, when Jesus did it, you saw that he told his disciples, you understand what I'm doing here? What I did here is to give you an example to follow. You wash each other's feet. And you know that it's like the only place in the Bible that Jesus doing something and immediately after he says, I did it as an example for you. Understand the weight of what he's doing. He is hours from going to the cross, and at that point, he's washing the feet and says, this is an example for you. You should wash the feet of each other, not only of Peter and John and James that were faithful to him most of the time, but even his enemy, his betrayer, and he gives that to us as an example. And it's so hard. And this is maybe connecting us back to where we started with this, through love, serve one another. Service is in the outpouring of love, and what a love Jesus had to be able to serve even his enemy. And if he did that as our example, we want to resemble him. So where can I serve? How can I serve here at Harvest? How can we do that? I understand when I serve others, I serve the Lord. I understand when I serve others, I resemble the Lord. How can I serve? So I want to start with saying that this concept of through love, serve one another, doesn't start and ends here at church. So where does it start? Well, it starts at home. At home where no one sees us, but the most important people in our lives are. The first priority of service is at home. So do we serve one another? Husbands, do we serve our wives? Do we actively look into ways we can make our wives' lives easier? You know, back to my kind of funny example with the with Jacqueline from before, I learned this week that my wife needs a glass of water waiting by her bedside every night. She doesn't need to ask me for that. I can do it, right? I can just make sure she has water when she goes to bed. I can do this. And this is just something that's so small, and we can give thousands more important example of ways we can serve our wives without them even needing to ask us. On the same boat, wives, do you serve your husbands? Do you look for actively for ways to serve your husbands, to make their lives easier? Students, I love that. You're not off the hook here. Students, do you serve your parents? And when I say serve your parents, I'm not saying do you obey your parents. I'm saying do you look for ways to make your parents' lives easier? Do you look for ways to serve at home? Or your parents always have to tell you to help? I know the answer, right? Also, not only with your parents, but with your siblings, right? We talked about how we should serve our enemies, right? No, I'm kidding, not your enemies really, but even if they were, right? We should serve them. We should serve one another at home first. And I have to say that this is our first priority for service at home. And here at Harvest, if this piece of serving each other at home doesn't really work, your service opportunities here will be limited. We want you to first prioritize home and serve each other at home. Then, just a word about that. We're also called to serve the world and through our service be light to this world. And I love, you know, I love that Gilbert goes and he's feeding the homeless and helping the helpless and being a light, shining the light of Christ to them. I love that you do that. And, you know, I love that we are gathering this truck to go down to Miami and help the people there. And what a beautiful picture of Christ's love, right? And the light of Christ coming through us to the world. I love that. But I have to say here that it seems that repeatedly the serving one another has come to the context of our church. So let's go back now to talk about the church. How can I serve here at Harvest, here at church? So after I serve at home, the second way I can serve, the first way here at church, is join a small group. Maybe a surprising thing that I'm saying here, but the first way to serve here at Harvest is be in a small group. Why do I say that? Because, you know, I love our small group model, because when you go to small group, it's not one person that serves everyone. That's not what we're about. Small group is a beautiful mechanism for serving one another. You know, if we talk about someone that is hosting the small group, right? That's a really good service. It's a beautiful service. But, you know, if you're good in listening to others, we really need listeners here at church. Someone that can, others can share their hearts with you. This is a great service. Just listen to one another. Or some of you may be asked to hold a brother or a sister accountable on a weekly basis, maybe on a daily basis, if it's something that needs more attention. This is an amazing service to just keep up with one another. Maybe it's giving a meal to someone that is sick in your small group. Maybe it's giving a gift to a newborn or a kid in your small group. There are just plenty of opportunities to serve in your small groups. And that's where we want you to serve first here at church. Second, after you serve at home, we want you to serve in your small groups. That's where we want you to be. And you know what's beautiful? That after we serve one another, we get the joy in our heart and the love in our hearts just overflow, and we just want to serve more. So we serve at home, then we want to serve in our small group, then we want to serve here at church. And we invite you today to join us for this joyful service. We invite you to do that with us. The areas you can share your gifts with this body, you will find them out there. You saw them on the paper, and we want you to pray and maybe join us in service when we finish here and when we go to the lobby. But I want to finish with saying, so here is what makes our community uncommon, what makes us an uncommon community. You know, the world asks how many people serve you, but Christ is asking how many people are you serving. And this is what makes us uncommon. We look into how to serve others more than how we serve ourselves. So let's pray together. Father, we are just so thankful for your example, and just so moving to think about you going on your knees, washing the feet of sinful people, your disciples, and then even more, washing the feet of Judas. And what humility and what humbleness, and may we will be more like you. May we will be able to follow your example in that. And Father, I thank you for this church and for so many in this body that are serving so faithfully week in and week out. And we pray that just more people will join this celebration of service that we have here. And we praise you. I pray also that you will just always remind us of the motive for service, and that we are to serve you and not people. And that's what we really want to be about. So we thank you and praise you, and for you is all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.